You're listening to the Walt Weekly Podcast with our host, Walter Latham, and our co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs. Voices in Society Impacting the Culture. All right, today we have Greg Coleman. Welcome, Greg. Appreciate you coming on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Appreciate y'all having me here. My name is Greg Coleman. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. I lived in New York up until 2006, and then I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. And now I'm a resident of Greensboro, North Carolina.
Oh, man. Nice. I've been there.
Really nice. That's great. So we're going to get right into, you know, a situation that you recently recovered from. When and how did you find out that you had throat cancer?
Well, I found out I had throat cancer in April of 2019. And it was kind of weird, you know, the way those things took place. I was going to the doctor back in 2018, and she noticed what she thought was an abnormality in my thyroid. And right. So she advised me, my primary care physician, I'm a veteran, so this was at the VA. Okay. And she advised me to have somebody, that I need to have my thyroid checked out. She wanted me to go get some tests. And this was back in February of 2018. And I put it off and I put it off and I put it off and kind of, because it wasn't, she said it wasn't major, but she said it's something that, you know, it was an abnormality and she wanted to take a look at it. So right. I kept putting it off. Then I had an incident where I injured my throat, and I went back to the doctor, and this was the next year. This was New Year's, right after New Year's in 2019.
How did you injure your throat, if you don't mind me asking?
I was having some problems with my neck and back, and in the midst of those tests, they again came up with, we see something, you know, an abnormality in your thyroid. You need to go get that checked.
Okay.
So I went about a month later and set up a CT scan, and the test came back that they wanted me to go see a specialist about this, about the results of the CT scan. So okay. I went. Now I'm living in Greensboro and kind of away from the VA. So I went to an ear, nose, and throat specialist here in Greensboro, and he confirmed. After he did the test and took a look at it, he confirmed that it could possibly be cancerous. So
wow.
Right there in the office, he gave me, he noticed some swelling on the left side of my neck. He took a look at it, gave me a visual test there. And then what every man fears, I think he pulled out this giant needle and wanted to take a sample right there.
Oh, my goodness.
He took the sample to see what the fluid is. Because on his test, it looked like it was some fluid. So my lymph nodes right under my left ear, under my right ear, were mm-hmm. swollen. And I didn't feel any pain. There's no pain, no discomfort. So the only thing I'm going by is what they saw on the test.
And right.
He went, sent that off. He said, you know, I don't see it. You know, once he took the fluid out, that swelling went down. But he said there was another location he couldn't get to with the needle that was also swollen. And he needs further tests for that. So he sent that fluid sample off. It came back non-cancerous.
Okay.
Wow.
But the second test he sent me to, right under my ear, my lymph node up under my ear, came back as something that was cancerous. So,
wow.
It was about a week and a half. I went back to see that same doctor. He confirmed that it was cancerous and gave me my options. You know, what where I wanted to go from here. And that was sobering because
oh man.
Wow.
When you hear about people with cancer and all kind of, you know, that's cancer ain't like a cold. You know, you can't, you know, take a couple of vitamins and keep it moving. You know, we think we're Superman anyway.
And, right.
And that's what, that's the, like the first time you face to face with your own mortality. Like you can't run, duck and dodge. You can't take something. You can't work out to get it better or.
Wow.
This is something you've got to deal with. So it was, right. it was a slap in the face. It was a wake up.
Did you ever think whether you would pursue it or not pursue it based on your family? You know, I was in a similar situation, you know, and it had to do with my pancreas. So, you know, I had to go through that endoscopy type thing. So they say, well, they got a spot, they got to take it out, you know, and analyze it to determine whether it was malignant or not. So I had like a week's wait, after, you know, for them to do the, you know, the analysis. And so I'm saying to myself, if I do have it, you know, with pancreatic cancer, there's no cure. You know, sooner or later.
Right.
You know. So I had to think to myself, I mean, this is a heavy weight. You know what I'm saying? Well, if I do have it, if they do confirm it, do I go for treatment or not? Right. Did you run into that type of situation? Because I concluded that I owed it to my kids and my family to try.
Right, right.
Okay.
It was, you know, different scenario with me because right initially he explained that it wasn't something that's usually genetic or hereditary. This was an HPV form of cancer. So it's a little different than something hereditary. So, I mean, yes, but you're still faced with how you're going to get it treated. And, right there by my side through the entire, you know, every doctor's visit was my wife, April.
Right.
So, you know, it's really, I'm bouncing it off to the one person I need to bounce it off. So we're getting immediate feedback. You know, like, what should I do? What should we do? And of course, you know, if you know me, I'm thinking of all kind of, you know, natural medicine, you know, what kind of root or herb could I take to make this go?
right. That's the first thing.
Exactly. You know, I'm sure somebody in Africa, you know, got something that'll treat this opposed to some, you know, pharmaceutical way of getting it done. Just all kind of things went through my head. And you know, but then you got to assess. I had to put all that behind. And then that's when you got to rely on faith. And I think that was a major part in every decision I made in regards to this cancer treatment. You know, you said you can say you got faith when you ain't facing nothing. But the real test is going to be when you find out you got some adversity, you know, staring you right in the face. Now, do you have that same faith? And, you know, I had to get down on my knees and I had to pray. I'm like, you know, God, what do you want me to do next? You know, I'm taking a signal from you. And, you know, my wife is there to help me with that. So that was instrumental in what I thought was making the proper decision. And, you know, with all what came to me was trust this doctor and trust his course of action. And yeah, you can still look it up and research, you know, what you want to, but and then bounce that off the doctor if you need to, but trust him. And, you know, he got you. So then I said, okay, all right. We're going to take this ride. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. And
so you didn't feel like you needed a second opinion?
Like, not in that case, because I also had my primary care physician and her recommendation of this doctor. And this doctor, even though he was associated with them, he isn't in that same circle. He's part of another healthcare system. And that's where I get a little, you know, tricky sometimes, like, you know, thinking they're all in cahoots in the same healthcare system.
Right.
But he's kind of independent of that. And you know, the feedback I got is with, like, you know, this guy's no nonsense. And that was his whole approach to me. You know, he wasn't dressing anything up. He wasn't candying it up. He wasn't, you know, look, this is the situation.
Right, right.
This is what I suggest. And you know, 80% of the time, this is the way it happens. 20% of the time, this is the way it happens. Because as soon as he looked at it, he gave me his gut, but he still went off of the test. He gave me his gut. He told me what he thought. And then he told me what the test said. And I'm like, all right, you know, I'm going with this guy. Like in My Cousin Vinny, when the guy had the stuttering order, stuttering lawyer.
Yeah,
I want that guy. And that's what I said to myself. Nah, I want this guy. So
That's good.
how long did it take you to get your results?
Yeah, it was about a week and a half. And that was
had some time. He had 10 days.
Longest week and a half, man.
I can't imagine.
All kind of things go through your mind. And
then you gotta go back for consultation, right?
Yep. It's like
at the end when he gets the results, then you and your wife had to go back so he can tell you the news, right?
Exactly. You're going to parole hearing.
I think you going to the chair? Are you going to get out?
More likely. Right. That's more likely.
Yeah. That is true. So, you know, I know you guys fairly well, and you had just like actually 1 year anniversary, right?
It was 10 months after we got married.
Right.
A little less than that, though, right?
Yeah, it was a little less than that.
Yeah.
How has that taken a toll on your marriage and your wife with the support she's given you? I know she had retired, you know, from her working, but, you know, I know you have your mother-in-law. You know, how did that affect you guys personally? Was it just another thing to add? You didn't think about it and you just kept it moving and you did what you had to do? You know, how did that affect the family?
It was an adjustment. It was definitely, but I can't say it was a strain on our marriage. It was, you know, especially when looking back on it now. I mean, April was an absolute champion through this thing. There's no way I would have got through this like I got through it without her. It's just, I can't say it any plainer. You know, can't say it any plainer because there was no wavering in her.
All right,
we gonna go through this. I got you, and whatever you need, you know, we gonna be all right.
That's great.
So, you know, I could be as rah-rah as I want, but you know, when you get that from, we get that from your partner, you know, from your helpmate, then that's the confirmation, and you know. And she proved it, you know, all throughout my treatment that year, because it wasn't pretty.
Of course not, definitely, man.
Every step of the way, you know, she's right there at every appointment, at, you know, I mean, just and that helps, you know, because that's a confirmation that you made the right decision to go through with this,
right?
You know, that's a constant confirmation.
You
know, it helped. It was it's a godsend.
On the day that you got the news prior to going into that office when you were sitting in the waiting room, all right, and the doctor's going to give you his diagnosis on whether it's malignant and whatever, you know, you got to take all these treatments and this and that. I mean, what was going through your mind?
I'm gonna tell you, you know, I don't know if you know, I was in the military. You know, I spent a lot of time, you know, growing up. I'm, you know, high school football player, played a little semi-pro.
So that's
my mentality. Sports is my mentality. I coached right after I stopped playing. So, you know, you go back to what you relied on. And I went back to, you know, that, you know, the old sports analogies. Like, I felt like Rocky. Like, I'm getting ready to go into the ring. So I got to get myself pumped up. And I'm gonna get ready for this,
great.
No matter what he say.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna do this and blah blah blah. So that and it wasn't loud. It was, you know, me telling myself that internally.
Right.
I had to pump myself up and like, okay, if he says we got cancer, we knocking this out. And
yeah, you gotta fight.
You know, we're gonna fight this, we're gonna knock this out. And then there's the spiritual side of you too, that, you know, you're gonna be all right. You know, I'm gonna give you whatever you need.
I'm
gonna push you through this. It's, you know, even if it hurts, we're going to push through this. We're going to get what we need. So all of that combined, and then the fact that, you know, pushing me into the ring is my wife. She's standing there right next to me. I got you. Your hand on my shoulder. So
that's,
you know,
great.
So, you know, when it came time to walk in that door and get that decision, you know, when he told me what, you know, that it was cancerous, then okay, I already had to have myself geared up, pumped up, and ready for the game. Not right. having any clue just how rough the game was going to be.
Right. That's right.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, you don't know until you have to start doing it. Yeah. No.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I know when I was waiting outside the office, along with my wife, you know, and, you know, we all, you know, close, and she's holding my hand, but I wasn't afraid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as soon as I walked in the office and sat down, before the doctor could say anything, I said, okay, how long I got? I was just like one of you guys on TV, but internally, I was scared as hell.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? And then he said, you know, it was non-malignant. It wasn't malignant.
And it was like the weight of the world off your shoulders, right?
I got mad.
Why?
I mean, I'm going through all of this and you're not going to find nothing.
Yeah.
You should be happy. You should be happy.
That's something, right? But you know what? It's true, because I had a situation with my kidneys and, you know, they were cold. Oh, you got to go on dialysis. Like, what?
I came here.
You know, like, I'm like, I thought I had a urinary tract infection or something. It's like, no, your kidneys, you got to do immediate. And I'm like, I don't think so. You know, I panicked. I called my husband. I was crying. He was like, calm down. You know, he's the calmer one. I'm psychotic a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, Greg, you know me, I'll be going off before you know. So, and then I calmed down, went to the specialist, and he was like, no, you don't. You just need medicine.
Give me.
Yeah. And I'm like,
that's it?
Yeah, that's it. I wanted to go back to the urgent care and knock her out for just, you know,
taking you through that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because it is a lot of anxiety that comes with that.
It's a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. Because again, like I said, we live that our mortality. You know, that what do they say? You know, sometimes we're gonna think of us, you know, it's gonna happen, but it's gonna happen to somebody else. It ain't gonna happen to me. You know what I mean? So
yeah, that's not me.
You know, I'm there for somebody else if it happens to them, but us dealing with it. And then if they tell you that it's, you know, oh, it's okay. No, it wasn't that. Now, you know, you got yourself all pumped up for nothing.
Right. Like, you got me all scared, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, I got to go through this. I know people that have been on it. It's not good. I'm a healthy person. I eat right. I take care of myself. Why me?
And, you know, that's something else. You know, again, I like to say I'm a healthy person and I take care of myself. But, you know, now I start reconsidering when they tell you, you know, what the cancer is and how you could have possibly, you know, picked it up, you start to second guess everything you did in your life. You retrace your steps and you want to blame yourself for decisions that you made that you might not have made that, all in all, might not have had anything to do with why you got the cancer, but you still second guess it.
Second guessing, definitely.
You're going to second guess it anyway, so that you go through that. And
you were never a smoker.
Never a smoker.
No.
How about a drinker?
Never a big drinker. You know, you drink
social
to keep up with the crowd for a little while.
Social drinking.
You know, And that had stopped a long time ago. Never thinking. And that's one of the things that you fool yourself to thinking that you're okay too, because you don't do that, you're gonna be all right. But I will say though, the fact that I didn't do that helped in my recovery.
Wow.
Okay.
That's incredible. Wow. Yeah. Good story, Greg. I mean, we never discussed the whole thing. I know when you got that, you know, tell us how, when you recovered from it, how did you feel? What went through your head? What was the process of going there to get these results, these final results? Because I know you had to go through a few changes.
Yeah, because, you know, and I'm going to tell you the truth, I'm still not to the point where I'm totally, you can say, actually, and I got to be, you know, totally honest, I had my final appointment today and forgot about it.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Believe it or not, we had, you know, so much else going on. I forgot about it. And, you know, the tests are already in. It's really just the doctor saying what the test results from. So, you know,
okay.
I can, reschedule it and say, but you never, I've never gotten to the point, I haven't gotten to the point yet where you say, I'm recovered. Yes.
Okay.
My belief is I've recovered, but right. you didn't get that official word yet. But just like, you know, the whole treatment period, recovery is a long process. It's not right. just one, you know, it's just not one milestone that you reach okay. and say, I'm recovered. So, right. you know, the whole treatment period was one of the most excruciating, humbling, wow. you know, bring you right. to your knees experiences I've ever had. Like I said, you know, yeah, basic training, football camp, you know, whatever, any kind of physical, you know, mm-hmm. thing. I done had, you know, rotator cuff surgery 3 times, broke my fingers, broke my nose. None of that compares to this cancer treatment. None of that.
Wow.
And
wow.
I'm not thinking that. You know, I'm thinking that, you know, okay, you know, I know it's tough, but this was life changing. This was game changing. And, you know, wow. you almost come down to, you know, being a little baby crying on your mother's lap. That's how, you know,
right.
painful this
right.
thing was.
Right.
So, okay. and my going into it was that, you know, okay, it took 8 weeks to go through that whole treatment period. And as soon as I ring right. that bell, my last chemotherapy or radiation treatment, that it's over.
Right.
That's where it's it started. Not. That's
wow.
where it started. But again, and I give them this, I'm glad they didn't tell me that in the beginning, because I might not have went through it if I knew what I had waiting for me down the line.
Oh,
so,
man.
You know,
yes.
They tell you
yes.
about the treatment, but they don't tell
they
don't
you. They'll tell you after the treatment. Wow.
Oh, my goodness. That was the adjustment, because now the damage is done. The chemo,
due to the side effects, right?
Yeah.
The
side effects.
Okay.
The chemo has absolutely destroyed your throat. You know,
yeah.
in my area, it was my throat. That the radiation has destroyed your skin, your throat. You can't
right.
swallow. You can't. Everything is painful. You can't
right.
sleep.
Right.
Breathing sometimes is
wow.
you know, drinking some water is some of the, like you drink, you're swallowing razors. And
oh, man.
It's for an extended period of time. It took time
wow.
for all those muscles to recover, and you got to go through therapy to retrain the muscles just
right.
to do simple things like swallow. And
wow.
you know, that whole process was painful, and and that's why you don't get to a point where you say I've recovered, because
right.
every
yeah.
day is a different step.
It's
in
a
that
different
recovery.
Step.
Like, okay, you know, wow, I was able to drink apple juice today.
Right.
you
right.
know,
right.
Yeah.
The things that we
I
are
was
comfortable
able to,
with. Yeah.
Oh, today I had some chicken soup, and you know,
those
I'm
are things you took for granted.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
now you
yeah.
appreciate those things,
like
right?
Chicken soup.
Wow.
I can remember, you know, like 8 weeks in after the recovery period started, I ate a hot dog for the first time. You know, from
oh.
solid food, I'm like, man, I'm on the way now. You know,
yeah, right.
you know,
you can eat a hot dog. That gives you indigestion right. anyway. But
and Michelle,
yeah.
yes,
you
yes.
know, one of the things I enjoy more than anything else is food.
Yes.
You know, that's part of my life, you know. And,
that's
and
part of your life.
You can't eat nothing?
This yeah,
nothing you
that's
like?
Tough.
Oh, my goodness.
That is
you
tough.
Know,
that
going,
is tough.
You're going to barbecues and stuff like that. Everybody's eating. Hey, man, come over here and get a plate. You got any apple juice?
right.
Wow.
So, you know, that whole process was an adjustment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, laying down, you take for granted being able to sleep. I had to sleep, you know, propped
right.
up on a pillow for 6 months, you know, and
wow.
you know, like you say, so what impact does it have on the marriage? You know, we still newlyweds, man, and I can't
yeah.
even sleep normally in the bed, you know, so
wow.
okay.
you know, that's a little issue mm-hmm. right there.
Yeah, definitely. it definitely hurts it, you know,
that's an issue right there, but, you know. Again,
thank God,
man,
you know,
I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you just how valuable family and friends were through that process.
Right.
I mean,
right.
it was just an outpouring of love, support, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't say. I know people. Some have some experience. You know, you hear people say, "Well, you really know who your friends are when you get in a situation like that." Well,
mm-hmm.
I knew who my friends were, and none of them disappointed me when I really needed it the most. They did. Family, friends.
No.
You know,
right.
even people that I couldn't, you know, think of. Hey, Greg, we just, you know, want you to know,
right.
man, we know it's tough, man. We love you and you know, and get through it. You know,
right.
And that means a lot, man.
It does. That it does. It lot. Makes it, it's, you know, having that support is definitely a big thing.
Y'all definitely. Were just unbelievable, man.
So your treatment was primarily outpatient, or it was some inpatient, some out?
It was all outpatient. It was all outpatient. Okay. Okay. And that's something, man, that was a blessing too. You know, the people at this clinic here in Greensboro, the Cone Health Clinic, I mean, that whole system, you know, I heard horror stories, you know, with, you know, people going through treatment and insensitivity. Man, these people were unbelievable. The people in the parking lot that parked your car were just the friendliest. They made, from the second you'd pull up to go get your daily treatments and your chemo and stuff like that, they just bent over backwards to make it as effortless and nice and as pleasant Beautiful. As they could be, man. And that helped. You know, I look forward to going in. I might not look forward to getting it done, but I look forward to going in there every day.
Excellent. Right. Excellent. Right. That's good. That's good.
I made it cool. You know, but now, you know, the recovery part of it, you know, you get to a point where you think you've arrived, that I'm cool, I'm all right. But there's always little reminders, you know, that, you know, I tried to take a vitamin, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, oh yeah, I can, you know, I eat spoonfuls of food that's bigger than this. I took that vitamin and my throat's still not ready to process that and choked on it. You know, now I got to get it out of my throat because my throat's still not ready to take that.
It has to heal. Wow. Yeah.
And it, you know, it takes a period of time, but.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah, it'll take some time, you know, but thank God, you know, you got through the first part.
Yeah. You know, without a doubt.
All right. So when you go back now, Greg, when you go back now, you said you had to go back, there's, you know, something still pending.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Could you explain? Elaborate a little bit more?
What they do constantly is monthly. They still monitor. So after one of the things that chemo does, the chemo has an effect on your immune system. It weakens your immune system. So it knocks down your white blood cell count, hemoglobin. It weakens your immune system. Mm-hmm. So now you're pretty much exposed, you know, things like common stuff that you might run into is going to affect you more than somebody else with a strong, you know, with a regular immune system. So you got to be aware. And so just when I get to the point, every month they take a blood test and they check my levels. And, you know, the doctor says, well, okay, yeah, this is getting a little better. These numbers are getting a little better, but we still want you to beware. You know, watch who you're around, groups of people. Wash your hands. Now, this was before the COVID outbreak.
Right.
The whole game changed, you know, March 17th. I go into my appointment, you know, get my levels checked. And they're like, look, you know, you're getting better, but your immune system's still compromised. And now with this COVID epidemic, I need you to stay in the house. Period.
Right.
You know, everybody else might debate whether we want to put a mask on and where we want to go here, whether we want to practice social distancing, you don't have that option. This is what you need to do.
Right.
Because my levels weren't back yet.
You're at high risk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last month, they tested, you know, or 2 weeks ago, they tested my levels again, and they're still not where they were getting better. But for the first time since the treatment ended, they dropped again slightly. And the doctor that I was supposed to see today follows up on the cancer part of it, not just my blood levels, but how my throat's recovered, how you know, swallowing and things of that nature, and any other organ that was directly related to the treatment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, he gives me an update on that. And that's what I would have found out today. Like, what is his suggestion for me moving forward in this during this pandemic?
Right.
Again, you know, I know folks, and even my wife thinks I'm a little jumpy sometimes when I, you know, who's that coming, you know, to the house?
I'm the same way.
Yeah, I remember you told me a situation where you had visitors and you told them to leave. Yeah. Like, they, you know, you got to be considerate. Yeah. You are at risk.
Yeah. Because they don't consider that. And, you know, halfway I understand it, but then the other side of it was they were just, you know, bucking the system altogether. And, you know, so y'all made your decision. Now I got to make mine.
Right.
I'll see y'all next time.
Right. Got to know. Exactly. Exactly. You know, it could affect you in a way where, you know, you're risking your life and then they're moving on, you know? So, I mean, people that are not work sick, you know, you got to be careful with that.
Absolutely. And it's going to take more, it takes less for this to knock me down than it will for them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They might go and be fine. And I'm the one now, I'm getting symptoms for something completely different. When my body still hasn't recovered from the first thing.
Right.
Like it's supposed to.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you the truth. The other side of it is me. You know, just human nature, we think that we've gotten to that recovery point. So I'm not doing my therapy exercises like I should. You know, I get up and say, no, I'm good. I'm all right. I can do this. I can do that. And while you might be able to do it, you still shouldn't do it. I needed a wake up call too, and so this is it.
You have to be careful, you know, moving forward. I think, you know, this is just a life changing experience for you, that, you know, you'll be conscious of what you can eat, how you live, physically taking care of yourself, you know. I know alkaline water. I knew someone that had cancer. And they never did treatments. They went holistic. But, they bathed in alkaline water. Mm-hmm. They drank it. They did everything with it. And it gave them longevity. You know,
tell you the truth, Shell, somebody else. Now, I knew this at the beginning of the treatment out of me looking it up. Mm-hmm. And April's mother, who had just battled cancer, she drinks it every day. But I'm like, well, no, I'll be all right without it, just drinking, you know, regular water. Somebody said it, you know, mentioned it again to me last week, and now you're the third person, and that's confirmation that I need to get on that program.
Right. Another friend of ours, mutual friend Eveline, she has a machine in her house, and it's connected to her system.
Her system, you know?
It's expensive, but anything that's healthy for you is expensive.
I keep telling people this. That might be expensive, but the medical bills, if you don't do it, is going to be even more expensive.
It's going to be even more expensive. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I agree. So good. You answered my third question then with the COVID, you know, how it's impacting you and your health and your life and stuff. So
That's it. You know, it knocked it back a little, but you know how I feel about that. We needed to be slowed down a little bit anyway. And I'm sure
we did. You know, unfortunately, we had some casualties, but I think it was a cleansing.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, definitely. People.
It was a purge.
It was a purge. That's right. Right. I think so, you know, and hopefully, you know, with the summer coming and they're slowly opening the system up, people will be conscious and more respectful of people's space. So, you know, if you have pre-existing like yourself, you really have to be careful. You know, you just can't go back to normal. You know, you really can't.
I would have liked to have been at a few protests or something like that. But, you know, the first thing I'm thinking is, you know, man, the people are kind of close to each other.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to think twice. You know, you had high risk. I mean, a lot of people took risks just doing it, you know, that are healthy, or there's some people out there that were in wheelchairs. They still took a chance. So
No, that's true. And, you know,
listen, good for them.
I'm not telling them they shouldn't have, because you know, this was important. I believe in what they're doing, but
definitely. But I'll cheer them on through the TV. So I'm cool.
I got one question though. I may have asked it earlier, but just to make sure. Does cancer run in your family? Has anybody else ever had throat cancer in your family?
No, not at all. And I mean, you know, and that's really started me digging and asking, you know, nobody had ever heard of anybody having, you know, throat cancer.
It has to start somewhere, right?
Yeah. But like I said, what it is, is that HPV type of cancer is something you get, you know, it could be by contact, or it could just be, you know, genetically whatever. And, you know, the first thing I'm thinking of, to be totally transparent, you know, I wasn't always as sexually judicious as I should have been in the past. And, I know Michelle might get a kick out of that, but
yes,
you know I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. I was a little, you know, a little looser than I am now.
Yeah, he was loose. I can confirm.
So no, you know, honestly, that's the first thing I'm thinking of. So
right.
You also go to, all right, if I got it, you know, could I possibly have given it? But you know, the doctor assured, you know, told me, sat me down, and it really doesn't work like that. Like something like a you know, sexually transmitted disease or anything like that. It's different, but it can be, you know, something you come to. So, you know, all of those things start to flash back. And you say, oh my goodness, man, what, you know, I knew I should have
Like when you said earlier, you started thinking about a lot of things. I'm like, okay, he got a long history here.
Hey.
I'm not gonna say but you know, we are here. We're gonna edit
No, but honestly, you know, that's all. You know, that's all in the past. That's who we are. So,
but it makes you think about stuff. Yeah, it makes you think.
There's gonna be a ramification for everything at one time.
For everything,
you know. Yeah. So
definitely. Yeah. But thank God, you know. So I will say you recover. You are here talking to us. You're gonna get good news.
Yep, and
I'm one of our key men on the panelists.
I believe that, our key persons.
Your contributions are great.
This is vital form of information, man. So
Definitely. We all have to support each other. You know, when you do your podcast, we'll be there for you too. So
definitely,
just grateful.
It's gonna be mostly sports, but you know.
Oh well, then I'll be the female voice. I'll look at the questions and all the guests coming in and then ask. I'll do my part like I have been doing. Yeah.
This one, we're going to get your husband on there with us.
Oh, man. Please do. He'll stop work for that one.
I know that's right.
He definitely stop work for that one. So let me ask my final question, Greg. Mm-hmm. What advice can you give to anyone that just ignore warning signs and are afraid to really get a checkup?
You know, when it really comes down to, you know, us, number one, you know, the stigma we have on us as people that, you know, we don't, I know, you know, Black men are labeled as, you know, really not following up on our medical care, disregarding it. You know, and I know, you know, a lot of that was generational. Our parents, you know, our grandparents might not have trusted doctors and medical staff for various reasons. Could have been financial and could have been, you know, a lot of times misdiagnosis and malpractice, you know, in a lot of things. But, you know, we have to, and again, you know, I guess, you know, this is combined with faith, you know, technologically, so many things have changed over the last 20, 30 years. And we've got to put some kind of trust in, you know, in the medical system. And, you know, even if it's just everything else is preemptive, you know, proactive, staying on top of what we eat. I mean, it sounds trivial, but it's important, you know, especially nowadays because we don't know where stuff is coming from. We don't know the origin of so much food, so many foods we eat, how it's been scientifically modified and messed over and, you know, all for the profit that these companies do. So we got to be diligent about, you know, what we put in our bodies, how we maintain it. Mm-hmm. Doing that, you know, we might take our car to get a, you know, religiously to get 5,000 miles, you know, oil change and checkup, but we won't do it to ourselves. You know, the basic stuff we got to do. So, you know, you'd be able to look back at your history and say there is an abnormality. You can see something and say, well, this wasn't there 6 months ago. This wasn't there a year ago. You got to have that track record. And that's what they did with me. They look back and say, you know, February 2017, this wasn't there, but it's there this year. And, you know, 2018, and now it's even bigger in 2019. We got to take care of this. And that's the only way we get it done. And, you know, I know there are obstacles when it comes to, you know, the corrupt, you know, for-profit medical systems and stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know, hey, we put money, we got to prioritize where we're going to put the money we do get. And our health needs to be at the top of the list.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know? Absolutely.
So, you know, we prioritize that and love ourselves. If we love ourselves and maintain ourselves, and if we don't do it for us, we got to do it for the people that we love.
That's right. That's right.
And my wife just got married. What if I just said the heck with it, and then I was gone a year later? You know, so you know that ain't even fair to her.
Right. You have to consider her too.
You know, my family, my friends. You know, and, with the relationships we build. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, do it for them.
Yeah, especially at early stage of a marriage, you know, you guys built such a good bond with each other that, you know, a lot of relationships, you know, this is for the younger people. We're older, so we have more discipline in relationships. We have more patience now. Yeah. You know, a younger couple, the wife probably would have just left. Like, oh, I'm not dealing with this. We just got married, you know.
Yeah,
but for better or for worse, you know.
I got a motto that needs to go back to the factory.
Yeah, well, I mean, like every car, you got to have a checkup.
Yeah,
change the oil and the tires and the engine.
That's
and
right.
The whole transmission.
That's right.
And the human body is no different.
Yeah, no different. She might feel like they sold her a lemon.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But you got to get that checkup. You got to
have to get that checkup.
Oil changed, and that's just the way life is. I know one thing. I don't know. Whether you attained that age yet, but when I hit 60, that was a year that things started happening. That's the year that I had that endoscopy for pancreas, you know, I had pancreatitis. That's what I had. That's what sent me to the doctor. But so everything, the pancreatitis was what started the whole thing.
And it's a blessing that wasn't more serious, man.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They went in and they looked for, they saw a spot. You know, there's a spot. They did a biopsy type thing, and that's when the daughter said, "Oh, it's not. It's, you know, it wasn't malignant." And I'm asking him, "Oh, what? He should be happy."
But how has that changed your life as far as, you know, your nutrition and your outlook on what you eat and how you take care of yourself? Has it?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get in your 60s, things just happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
reflects how you lived your life. You know, because I was one of those, you know, guys that, you know, drank and partied and ate what I wanted to eat, didn't worry about it. You know, so you know, those things catch up with you but one thing I do is I preach to my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, what you do today, let's say you're in your 30s, going to affect you in your 40s, and what you do in your 40s is going to affect you in your 50s.
I wish I would have.
That's just the way it is.
I was 30.
You know? Yeah. I tell them that, you know? So,
that's true.
I mean,
it's true, Walter, because right now I get pains in my knees, and I was, you know, I used to be very active with martial arts and stuff. I got abused a lot physically from doing that. And, you know, it's a, you know, not even 60. It happens in the 40s, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, and the body starts to change. Everything is changing. I'm like, hey, where did that come from?
You know, right.
On my thigh. Like, what is that? I'm not used to seeing different things. So,
you know what's funny about it? It's funny about it is that it's not only happening to us, but we see it happening to our circle of friends.
Like, yes.
I got like, now there's a crew of us, you know, at church that are all, you know, going through the cancer, you know, in one way, shape, or form, you know.
Really?
So, and we're all around the same age.
Oh, wow.
You know, so that mortality doesn't just sit in us. We see it in the people close to us.
Right. Everybody.
And all of us say, just like you said, Walter, man, you know, I wish I would have ate a little different when I was 30 or, you know.
Right.
I didn't drink that much. You know,
I should have stayed off that Crown Royal back then.
Yeah, that Johnny Walker Black was not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but
that's so funny. You know, your lifestyle as you're younger, you definitely have to watch. You definitely have to watch.
Yeah.
What you do,
but it will impact you. You may not see it in 10 years, but it'll come back.
Boom,
it will circle
like,
back.
What the hell? Yes.
Yeah.
And your body can't handle it. You're like, golly, it takes longer to heal to anything.
Oh yeah.
And you know, one of the funniest things about this whole thing, and not so much funny, the day I got the cancer diagnosis, I was 230.
You were big.
I mean, you know,
Doughboy over there.
And don't get me, you know, I fooled myself because, you know, I looked like I had a little belly and a little weight, you know, but I didn't feel like fat and out of shape.
Okay. How tall are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 5'6". So 230 on a 5'6" body. That's portly. I'm 165 pounds today.
Congratulations.
Wow.
That's more than 50 pounds. That's 60-something pounds.
That's 100.
Yeah.
That's 60-something pounds. And, just blow me away. That was weight I absolutely did not need.
Right. You feel different, right?
Oh, man.
Definitely, when you don't have that weight.
Man.
Yeah. It wears you down, you don't realize it. It makes you sluggish. You're slower.
April wants me to put about 30 pounds of that back on, but I don't know if that's
really. Oh wow! it's up to you. If you feel good with that weight, you can carry it. Feel much better.
The motto is everything is tone up. Everything in moderation. Yeah.
You're exactly right.
That's
Mom.
It. That is exactly it. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
I had to stop drinking Pepsi. You get that tank too.
Pepsi.
No, that's the real one.
Oh my God. That's a gut killer.
Once my sugar levels started going up and I had to monitor it.
Whoa.
And
Pepsi?
I had to stop drinking soda, period. And that's years without drinking Pepsi for 3 years until the other day. With this lock, the quarantine and everything, we were at KFC, we go there every Saturday, and they say, you get a free drink. So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to try a Pepsi, what the hell? It's COVID out there, this and that. Yeah. And I took the Pepsi and I took her Pepsi. We drink water in the house. That's all. Every Saturday when we go to KFC, I drink a Pepsi.
Wow.
That's
wow.
It. That's after like 4 years.
Pepsi's a lot.
Quarantine.
Moderation. Yeah.
Woo! Pepsi is like acid.
Really?
I couldn't drink it. Yeah.
That's April's favorite
drink.
My wife's favorite drink.
And my mother too.
Really?
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. No way.
It's like this house cannot not have a Pepsi in it. It's like,
really?
We fighting that fight still. I ain't win that one.
Wow.
That Pepsi.
No way. That's crazy.
Believe it or not, my mother, when she was getting ready to pass on and she was in rehabilitation. Anyway, she said, Booby, that's my nickname, Booby. Could you go get me some chicken? And then, I said, okay, Mom, what you want? A thigh, leg, bro? Yeah, and some French fries. I said, okay. And don't forget that Pepsi.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, she was in her 80s, so,
She
was sick. But in her last good meal, she had that Pepsi in there.
Had that Pepsi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how my wife's family is.
Yeah. Wow. Never had that Pepsi, man.
Hey, I came in the house with some Coke one day, and they almost threw it at me.
It's a big difference. It's definitely a big difference.
I can tell in a second.
Yeah, I can't swallow Pepsi. It just hurts my throat going down. Like it puts a big lump on my chest.
That's different.
Yeah, it's very painful for me to drink Pepsi. Period. Even Coke sometimes, but I only get those Coke or Pepsi when I used to get stickers on the car from sanitation.
Right.
And you pour it on it, they come off. So that right there told me I'm not supposed to drink this crap. If it's taking that off, what is it doing to my insides?
Yeah.
That's right. That's true. Mm-hmm. But I mean, once a week, Michelle, I try to, tell
you. Oh, yeah, once a week. My mother used to drink Pepsi every day.
I did
smoke
too.
A cigarette. Yeah.
Yeah, I did that too. Yeah.
One of the things that pushed me off it for the most part is, they say, so many people, medical and just, around the cancer, prevention industry, that sugar is the enemy, is the friend of cancer. So one of your biggest enemies in recovering it is too much sugar.
Right.
So, that cancer gets up and it feeds on that cancerous material. So eliminate the sugar, you help yourself out.
Absolutely.
I'm going to die soon because this is a Kool-Aid house.
Yeah, I know.
We cannot live without Kool-Aid, me and Lyle. We're old school.
I could have some Kool-Aid, man. Man, especially grape.
Red Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah. Lyle makes the gourmet Kool-Aid. So everybody's like, you sure that's Kool-Aid? I'm like, yeah, that's Kool-Aid.
Oh, you put a little lemon in it?
Lemon, lime.
Oh, my goodness.
You name it, he hook it up. And I'm like, what? I'm not allowed to make it because I don't make it right. So.
You don't make it right. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't make any beverages in here. Like, no. It's either too much sugar or not enough sugar. So.
Well, you know, the doctor said, hey, you're type 2. I said, okay.
Right.
So I don't use sugar.
So you avoid it altogether.
Yeah, I use Splenda. You know, I shouldn't even. He said, "Don't even use that." But I use a little Splenda. I gotta have a little.
Splenda is so gross. Yeah.
No, but I'm used to it.
I guess when you get used to it, you don't have a choice.
Yeah, you have to get used to it. You know.
I can't imagine.
You know, I haven't had straight up sugar, with the exception of the Pepsi, in years. I just don't do it.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink soda anymore. I'll keep ginger ale for when I get an upset stomach. But we drink a lot of fruit juices, apple juice, cranberry juice, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then if we have events, you know, barbecues and stuff, I'll buy sodas. But we don't drink soda. I'm so used to not drinking it that it doesn't do well with me at all.
I replaced my addiction to soda to those sparkling waters like Pellegrino and stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Flavored waters and stuff.
Okay.
That's right. when I want that bubbly taste, I get it from there, and that kind of stops me from drinking the soda. But you know, unfortunately, sometimes if the soda's in the house,
and
I ain't got no sparkling water, I might grab one. You know,
but
for the most part, I kicked it. I kicked the hand.
Excellent. That's great.
Hey, Greg, I got one final question for you. Okay. What would you recommend? And I think we already spoke to a lot of it to young people. In terms of health and what you've been through, what can you share that you think a benefit the younger people?
A large part of it is the self-awareness. You know, I know we think we're unbreakable when we're young and, you know, that we can pretty much stand up to anything. But, you know, getting into the first of all, learning from the wisdom of older folks. You know, that's one of the things we downplay, you know, societally. You know, listen, just like, you know, you passed down the wisdom, you know, to me just now about when it started to hit into you and what you started to do to change that.
Right.
It's the same way, you know, older folks are willing to share their wisdom with younger folks. Number one, you got to be open. Number two, you got to listen. And you want to learn from the mistakes of others. And, you know, listen to your people, listen to folks, and then love yourself enough to take care of yourself.
Exactly.
Love yourself.
Okay.
No matter what society says, love yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's first. Definitely.
That's right. Amen. If you don't love yourself, you can't love anybody else.
Yes.
Yeah. Not at all. And no one will love you if you don't love yourself.
Absolutely. It starts and ends there.
Yes.
Right. Fantastic show, guys. I really
enjoyed it. It's amazing. Thank you, Greg. We're glad you were on. We appreciate your time. We appreciate you being a guest host as well on our panel.
Thank you, man.
Just we look forward to more, and we look forward to your sports one. I can't wait for you to do it.
I'm getting it together.
That's gonna be fire.
Getting it together.
So.
All right.
So we look forward. Thank you, Greg. We'll get back. You know, reschedule your appointment.
All right, yeah, for sure.
You know,
don't miss. You've been too far.
Yeah, matter of fact, I think I got that text message since I've been on here. So he already set it up.
Well, you need to answer that. Awesome.
Hey, take care of your business, man.
All right, bro.
All right,
love you. Have a good evening. Okay, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Thank you for joining The Walt Weekly. We can be found at Facebook, The Walt Weekly Podcast, Twitter, at Walt Weekly, Instagram, The Walt Weekly, and www.thewaltweekly.podbean.com. Please like, follow, and share.